1 Thessalonians chapter 1. If you're new to Bethel and you're in this area and you're looking for a home church, I'm going to beg you to come back next week, because today's going to be a little bit of home cooking, a little bit reminiscent of what you've already heard from Brother Todd, because as you know, we've suffered a significant loss. Anytime you lose someone was hoping to be a part of your family, there's just no other word to describe it than traumatic and devastating. And certainly that's what we went through when we heard about Lacey, and certainly the Tebow family. This week they laid to rest Elvin, Mackie's husband, Charlie's grandfather, and the such. And then the very next day, Toya Reddinghouse. Some of you remember Toya. Cody was a young man and in the youth group age. When they started coming, they were raising Cody, Bob and Toya, and they wanted Cody to have a youth group. And if you will, as a church, we provided that for him. But Toya and Bob, I believe, enjoyed coming during that time as well. But she had a very severe liver condition that resulted in death this week. And so we had the Elvin's funeral Thursday, and then Toya's Friday, and then got the word Friday evening about Lacey. And church, I want you to know that all of us struggle when we hear things like that. And it's just important for us, in my humble opinion, not to just shrug it off and move on. I believe we need to let it do what it's supposed to do. In every memorial service that I preach, I ask the family to allow themselves to grieve. And as a church family, we're going to have to do that also. Now, I want to tell you what I asked my wife to pray. I said, please pray that this doesn't become a funeral service. I don't want that. But I do want to address the elephant in the room. I do. And so this sermon's going to affect some of those things. And what I want to share with you is that we don't know. We don't know why Lacey passed Friday morning. The assumption at this point is something that we would all go, oh, no, type thing. I'm going to ask you to let the professionals do their job. And at this point, let's just focus in on the fact that Lacey is gone. And let's support the family. If you can make the funeral Friday at 7 p.m. at Bell Funeral Home, I would beg you to do that. I understand most of you will not be able to make that. If you cannot make that, I'm begging you to mark that right now on whatever it is that you remind yourself on, to pray for your pastor. Amen, church? If you were in my position, wouldn't you want your people to pray for you? Because the reality is that no matter what that particular situation went on in Lacey's life, I just want to remove it from that for a moment. Choices have consequences. And church, hear me. You can choose your choices. You can't choose your consequences. I'm going to say it again. You can choose your choices. You can't choose your consequences. Now I want you to say it with me. You can choose your choices, but you can't choose your consequences. I shared this in first service, and it's just really the best illustration I know to share this particular idea. 6-8 years ago, Benjamin and I, we have the privilege of hunting these woods to the left here across the road for certain animals. And we came across a mine, an old abandoned mine that now is just, some of you pronounce it crevasse, I pronounce it crevice. It's a gap in the earth, okay? And my first thought, you understand, again, this was several years ago now. My first thought, I was feeling froggy. My knees were in good shape. And I thought, I'm going to jump across that thing. I am. And I started backing up and I said, Benjamin, I said, why don't, let's jump this. And Benjamin's like, okay. And he's a lot smarter than you think. He said, you first. I've raised him right. Okay. I said, record it. Yeah, because we want a video of this. And I've scoped it all out, and I'm ready. And I went, and I got within 4 foot of that crevasse. And I went, I don't think so. And he went, I knew you wouldn't do it, Dad. I knew you would. And church, I'm convinced I could have. But I'm also convinced that very likely the Missourian was going to have on the next headline, stupid pastor jumps into mine. Because before I ran, I played the scenario of me falling into that mine. I mean, you couldn't see the bottom. And I just visualized me looking up, seeing John Yerkes and Chad Blankenship. And, you know, they're trying to save me. St. Clair's finest, you know. And I mean that with all seriousness. Church, and remember, church, every siren is what? A call to prayer. Somebody needs help. And our first responders need help. They need grace. They need the ability to do their job. Watch this. I could have chose to jump that crevasse. But I could not choose whether I fell in and died or made it across it and celebrated. And I'm using, hopefully, a somewhat humorous antidote here to push the most serious thing across. Church, we need to leave our end date in God's hands and not make the choices that may speed that up. Again, none of that in relation to the situation that's going on right now. This is just an excellent opportunity to love you enough to tell you what may save your life. You can choose your choices. You cannot choose your consequences. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Would you please stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word? Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. Change us, Father, to look more like you. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. So we use this time. We use this eye-opening experience to once again settle down and look at what's really important. What is life, if you will, really about? And he covers it in this third verse. I want you to hear it in the New International Version. We remember, Paul says, before our God and Father, in other words, in our quiet times with God, we remember this about the church at Thessalonica. Your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And church, that's Bethel Baptist Church, and that's every New Testament church, hopefully, in a nutshell. This is what we're about. The work produced by faith. What is point number one? What is the produce of faith? And I want you to think in your mind, tomatoes, lettuce, cabbage, what's the produce of faith? The produce of faith is souls. Lacey Adams coming to the Lord. Greg Adams coming to the Lord. Fill in the blank. Your name, your child, your mom, your dad coming to the Lord. The produce of faith. Church, I didn't come up here in 1997 to make money. I didn't come up here to have a job. I come up here to see people get saved. And I hope and pray that's why you come to church. I hope and pray that that's why you joined this church. I hope and pray that that's why you're faithful to this church, to see the produce of faith. What is faith? Faith is the evidence of things not seen, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I knew it'd come to me sooner or later. That's what faith is. For what? The substance of what? People's lives being changed. Evidence of what? The Holy Spirit making a difference in yours and my life. The produce of faith. Paul is saying, we remember to God, we praise God that we've seen produce from your work. Well, it's not just souls, it's ministries. Celebrate Recovery, Awana, Sunday School, fill in the blank. These ministries are the produce of faith. Folks, it takes faith to do these things. It takes faith to share the gospel. It takes faith to live the witness. And I've heard people ask me, Brother Ben, what's the best type of soul winning? Is it just a life lived for Christ, or is it more of the confrontational, door knocking, hey, are you saved? Listen, church, it's both. It's both. You better, if you name the name of Christ as your Savior, you better be living according to how He's asked you to live. Amen. Otherwise, we're hypocrites. And we know what that does. That causes people not to come to church. Well, I'd go to that church except for all those hypocrites. And we've dealt with that ad nauseum. But the reality is that we hurt ourselves when we do not live in such a way that everybody knows that we're supposed to live. And so it's extremely important that you and I live by the Word of God. But there are times with your friends, neighbors, and relatives that you've got to open your mouth and talk to them about your relationship with Christ. You've got to go beyond, quote unquote, just the lifestyle evangelism, the produce of faith. It takes faith to do those things. Point number two, what goes into the work of faith? None of us are going to do what that work of faith requires if we don't love the people we're trying to work with. And there's not a one of us that are going to love these people unless we choose to. Amen. Folks, they're unlovely. We're unlovely. Every one of you, if you are married or you've got a kid or you're in any type of human relationship, there's times that we're unlovely. And it takes a choice to love these people. And Paul is praising God that this church not only was producing through faith, they were loving through labor. Awana takes work, church. CR takes work. Sunday school takes work. What we're doing right now, it takes work. There was preparations made. And church, we will know when we've all bought in, because in my humble opinion, more will happen. What am I trying to say? If you want to see fireworks at church, you need to pray for it. Amen. You want to see this guy become a better preacher? Pray for it. Please do. I'm serious. You want to experience God even beyond, and I'm not talking about something that's out of the box. I'm talking about everything that the Word says is possible. The anointing, if you will, the absolute movement of God's Spirit in our hearts as this man preaches, as we sing, as we pray, we need to ask for it before we come. And I know you're doing it because we experience it. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. But there's always room for improvement. Labor of love. Love of what? Love of God, love of people, love of the kingdom of God, love of His Word. Number three, what gets us through the labor? I told the first service that I've seen guys with machine parts and they dip them into a solution. And they just keep dipping them in the solution until it does what they're wanting it to do. I feel like I've been dipped in sorrow this week. Just continually dipped in sorrow. I didn't tell you. This is one that I didn't tell you about. Some of you have heard. But Pat Prater passed away Christmas morning. Christmas morning, 8:30, get the text from Robin that Pat had passed. Just another dip. And so, if there's anything I've tried to teach this church, is that this person is human. And in my labor of love, I get tired. In my labor of love, I get depressed. I get in bad places at times. Well, you know what gets us through that? Point number three, the hope which comes from Jesus. You see, the reason I'm so passionate anymore about funeral sermons is because of hope. The reason I'm so passionate about what God's doing here at Bethel Baptist Church, oh yeah, we've pronounced it, if you will. We've announced it that in 2018, Bethel has admitted we have numerically declined a little. But we don't want to concentrate on that, church. You know why? Because of the hope which is in Jesus Christ. That decline is not final. Can I get a witness? We still got work to do. And if we got to do it within the decline, we're going to do it. And it's so important that you and I not concentrate on the negatives, but we keep our eye on the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. He will bring us through this. In my humble opinion, He already has. And I believe 2019 is there for the taking. I believe that there's all sorts of reasons to be excited and to be motivated to do it. And if all else fails, we let the reality of if we don't hit us. And if we don't do what God has called us to do, there are going to be some people that do not live for eternity in heaven. We've got to share the gospel. We've got to live the gospel. We've got to labor for love and the love of God and the love of people. And we've got to do that all in the hope which comes from Jesus Christ. What is that hope? He wears the victor's crown. He's overcome. I love this. I haven't said it so much in the last probably half year to a year. But when I started saying this, several of you texted me and said, what is that thing you say? Because this is a really good prayer. Father, help us to overcome the onslaught of the devil, the confirmation of this world, and the deceitfulness of our own flesh. And I'm begging you, church, make that one of your regular prayers. Remember the power of a prepared prayer. It's not a ritual if you mean it every time you ask it. The power of a prepared prayer. So now, in conclusion, which means nothing from a Baptist preacher. But in conclusion, I'm going to shift gears a little bit, and I want to try. We're preparing for our New Year's Eve sermon, our New Year's sermon type thing. Because the next sermon that I preach here will be in 2019. And in preparation for that, I want to give you 5 R words. Y'all know my math struggles. 5 R words. R word number one, reflect. Now, we've hit on this a lot. There's an E word that goes with reflect. Evaluate. Church, if you've not already sat down and evaluated or reflected on 2018, you got a couple days left. So important that you do that. Reflect. What was good? What was bad? Praise God for what was good. Praise God for what was bad. Amen? And then mourn that. Mourn that. Have the funeral. Get it over with and move on. And watch this. With things like Lacey, we need to reflect. What could I have done? What should I have done? What did I do? So on and so forth. Don't do that to beat yourself up. Do it to reflect. Do it to prepare for the next time. We've got a phrase here at this church, and most of you think you've got the phrase from me. No, you didn't. You got it from Wanda Palmer from me. Wanda gave it to me first. She said, Brother Ben, I've learned to give a rose to the living. And we do that all the time now. It's because of Wanda. And church, you can be that impact on someone else. You can walk up to them before they get away and say, I want to give a rose to the living. And give them your compliment, whatever that compliment may be. And hear me, church. If you're waiting for that person to be perfect before you give them a compliment, die to that.
Amen.
The compliment you give them may be the only compliment that you can give them. And they are dying to hear something positive because everything else is falling apart in their life.
Amen.
And they need to hear that somebody thinks there's something. Because church, everyone in this building knows that Jesus doesn't make junk. He's created good stuff. And it's in there. It's called Him. We bear His image. And when you and I can wade through the mess, and we can say, I see it. Oh, it's buried deep in resentment and bitterness and everything else, but I see it. And you obviously don't need to say that, but you see what I'm saying. This is just here in our little room. But hear me. If you've got something positive that you can share, I'm begging you to do that. But do that from reflection. Reflect. How has 2018 been? Our number two, reject. Reject the rejection. Some of you have had some tough goes in 2019. You need to reject the rejection and move on. Charles Stanley shared that with me, not personally, but via radio. And he was talking about when people reject us, that if we're not careful, we put a flag on that and say, that's who we are. And I'm telling you right now, that's not who you are. My father also taught me a phrase, Ben, that's on them. If you've done all you can do to make that situation right and it's still not right because of a choice that they're making, that's on them. And they're rejecting you for whatever reason. Reject the rejection and move on. I'm not telling you to reject the person. Absolutely not. Reject the rejection. Can I tell you that one of the reasons I do this right here, so I don't want to see your faces. And I'm teasing. But at a funeral, I don't want to see their faces. At a place where I'm preaching that I don't know ever, I don't want to see their face. Because it really doesn't matter whether they're liking it or not. I'm preaching what God has led me to preach. Reject the rejection. Number two, remember how far we still have to go. Remember how far we still have to go. The Lord has blessed us as a church. I don't know what you hear, but I hear out and I hear from many of you that there is a good opinion, hallelujah, of Bethel Baptist Church. But watch this, church. We've got to keep our eyes off of where we've come from. And we need to keep our eyes on where we need to go. We got a lot of work to do, church. If we're going to go to three services, we got a lot of work to do. If we're going to win people through our witness and disciple them, we've got a lot of work to do. In the organizational structure of this church, we've got a lot of work to do. If we're going to get up on that 18 acres someday, we've got a lot of work to do. If we're going to help this community meet the needs and hurts and habits and hang-ups of this community, we've got a lot of work to do. Remember how far we still have to go. Resolve, word number four, resolve to finish strong. Too many Christians stumble at the finish line. Church, this walk, this run, according to Hebrews, is not a sprint. This run is a marathon. But we need to finish strong. The only way that you and I can finish strong is to do the things that we know to do. Are you having your quiet time on a daily basis? Are you eating the word on a daily? Are you feeding yourself? Are you being faithful to the Lord's house on a faithful, regular level? Are you, and we know the list. We know the things that the Christian is supposed to do. Are we finishing strong? Lastly, restart. restart today. There was a sermon, and the regulars here are going to know exactly what I'm going to say, but John Smith preached a sermon. I was sitting roughly on that second pew when I heard it. Never will forget it. Changed my life. You see, as a college student and as a young Christian, I truly believed that when you really blew it, you were done. Couldn't be anything further from the truth. And John Smith preached a sermon entitled, Life is a Series of New Beginnings. If 2018 was a bad year for you in Christ, today is a fresh start. Amen, church? Today's a fresh start. Folks, the sun came up. We're in good shape. And you and I can start over today. We tried to push that when we did the faith sermon series that we're not done with in Hebrews. We're going to come back to that. I promise. We're going to finish Hebrews 13. But watch this. The challenge of that first sermon was walk by faith from this day forward. And every time you quit, start again. Life is a series of new beginnings. On Christmas, well, for us, Christmas Day, which was last Saturday, the Kingston Five that we like to call it, we were going around, each person, telling some spiritual thing that we had learned in that year. And Benjamin said, I've learned that phrase, life is a series of new beginnings. And boy, I mean, every time I hear it, it's fresh and it's so true. You can start over. And you can be the person that God wants you to be from this day forward. Start today. There's literally hundreds, thousands, millions waiting for you and I to be the Christ to them that they need. I used the figure 5 billion people a couple weeks ago, and Terry jokingly wanting to get me, Terry Gordon, he said, Brother Ben, I hate to tell you, but there's 7 billion plus in the world. And I said, well, Brother Terry, I hate to tell you, but I said 5 billion lost. There's a couple billion of us that are saved. Watch this. But oh my goodness. Again, y'all know my math skills, right? 5 billion is more than 2 billion. We've got work to do. Amen, church? And we like to sit here and think, yeah, that's right, that's right. Within our Franklin County, we got 100,000 people to reach. That's where we start. That's our Judea. But then we're supposed to go to Samaria. And then we're supposed to go to the next town. And then we're supposed to go to the furthest reaches of the earth. God expects us to have an influence worldwide. Remember when I told you we have work to do? We have work to do. I'm just asking you. Sign up. What do you mean by that, Brother Ben? Tomorrow morning, put the armor on, suit up, show up, and let's get after it. Let's stand, musicians, will you come? Father, we ask you to do your will and way in this service today. If there's someone here that does not know you and the free pardon of sin, we pray that they'll be saved, for it's everlasting too late. Father, we pray that you will help us as Christians to just take that next step with you, whatever commitment level that we're at, to take that next step to serve you faithfully. In Jesus' precious and holy name we ask it. Amen. Will you come?